Alla mana konde ziza malodi ya babarare Anna na manando ra barokande vidaliera bararo nanala Ilamana rodi da bararo.
When a person is hit by a car, unfortunately, that accident is a contact that the vehicle has with his flesh. His spirit was not touched. And no matter how passionate the spirit is about still remaining around the earth realm, all of his three parts are expected to vacate time if one part fails. This is the delicate balance in the Trinity. If you check the account of the aspirations of Satan, Satan has never attempted to dethrone God. Satan only wanted to be like God. And what he wanted was the space of God the Son, not God the Father. Because God the Father has never been seen, not even of angels. So scripture speaking, he says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was seen of angels in Christ. That was the first time that they saw the great, unspeakable one. The one that if the high ranking angels, which are the seraphs, that minister closest to the throne, when they look, what they see is light. So they don't even know who is there. And because of the brightness of his figure, their wings, they had six wings in their anatomy. So they used two pair of those wings to cover their eyes. Because what is there, you cannot behold it. So no angel actually knows him. It was until in the body of Christ. That's when high-ranking angels said, is this the great and mighty one? Satan, how can you be like something that you have not seen? It is only the dimension of the God. Remember, let me share something with us. One of the descriptions of the office of the Christ, scripture says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, the Holy Spirit, the Father, everybody made Jesus their corporate body. You see, God is a spirit that other spirits call spirits. There's a difference between the realm of spirits and the realm of the spirits. The realm of the spirit is a realm of God. It is a realm that even inside the realm of the spirit, spirits are making reference to another higher place where hallowed creatures cannot access. The realm of spirits is where herbalists do their permutation, witches hold their conferences. Any spirit can manifest there. But there is a realm that only the Shekinah glory dwells. And so they make reference to that one as the realm of the spirits. And for everybody who have in one time or another thought that maybe Satan actually intended to dethrone God. Satan so respected God that even when the sons of God were gathered, he came to present himself with them too. And when God asked Satan a question, he answered in obedience. Where are you coming from? He says, from going to and fro. So God has never been the enemy of Satan. You will be reducing God to equate him with Satan. Satan was challenging one office inside the Godhead, God the Son. And I'll tell you why it was God the Son that was his focus. Because it was Satan that was given a title called Lucifer. Lucifer meaning light bearer. And light bearer was an office that he used in the time where he was the governor of the earth. Because there is no account of time, no account of the ages where men knew when Satan was Lucifer. As at the first man in our own age and dispensation, Adam, Satan has already fallen, because you see him inside the serpent. So he was not Lucifer as at then already. At what time was this guy Lucifer? There was a world before ours. Our world started with flood. Because you read Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The heaven, speaking there, is an umbrella statement. The heaven meaning not only space, but the inhabitants of those space. That's when angels were created too. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens. Not only space as heaven, but also inhabitations, the inhabitants. And the earth. But listen, let me ask you a question in all honesty. A being that don't have to soil his fingers before he brings things to life. a being that is described as to call things that be not as though they were. A being that they said all he does was to uphold all things by the power of his word. God who calleth those things which are not as though they were, known with perfection. How can you then tell me that he created something that became imperfect? That God created the word and the word was without form and it was empty. It was the fact that the state of the world we are talking about right now, something has collided with it. And between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 are billions of years apart. And if you want to use the eyes of science to consider the things I speak about, you will find that there are fossil records of bones of dinosaurs that date back to billions of years old. Yet, according to the narration of Genesis, from Genesis chapter 1 from verse 2 coming here, it's only 6,000 years the earth can record. Is the earth not older than 6,000 years? So there are lost dark ages of time that accounts do not record it. Yet there are bone remains that it will put your doubtful mind to rest that these things once existed. The flood of Noah is not the first flood, because our own world started with the Spirit of God moving over the face of the deep. Which deep? Where did the water come from? It was the same way this flood has been cleansing different generations, cleansing different civilizations. And it is because in the design of the earth, God was a master designer. He designed the earth to be self-sustaining so that he would not need to be putting his input. The earth has a gauge like a meter. Anytime iniquity prevails to a level, the earth by itself will cleanse itself. If you don't believe the things I've shared with you, if you go out any day and you see a rainbow in the sky, the rainbow you saw there is a language of immortals. It means the underground chamber and the mouth of the deep. They appealed to Adonai that iniquity has prevailed more than the bearable level. Allow us to cleanse the earth again. The rainbow you saw is a reply from heaven to the mouth of the deep that, remember I told you I will not destroy the earth with water again. So hold your peace. If you see a rainbow and you feel like snapping, you think it's a romantic day, you are joking. It is a gate of judgment. Iniquity has exceeded its threshold. And if God did not change the status of the covenant, flood would have been that time you saw the rainbow. You will not even have the time to see it before the flood comes. Because different ages has been cleansed like that. But when it came to the time of Noah, after Noah offered a sacrifice, scripture speaking, he says the sweet smelling savor rose up to God. And it became clear to God that man has some level of good in him too. And God sealed a covenant that will make that the mouth of the deep will not move as it will again. But then, in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2, the prophet of God by prophetic acumen opened our eyes to something very deep and shocking. He says, behold, that same darkness that causes judgment for every age, the kind of darkness that was upon the earth when the Holy Ghost was moving, the darkness that brings the flood, the darkness that ends ages, the darkness that brings judgment, it says it will cover the earth again. Gross darkness will now cover people. And that will be the right time for God to judge. But he says in this time, God will play a different card. In this time, God will cause that in the midst of the darkness. He says in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, arise and shine, because your light has come. This is what God did when he introduced the factor that was never in the equation all along. So when he entered the darkness as the Holy Spirit, the first thing he released, he says, let there be light. And if you make reference to the design, according to the God that created us, the design is that every other part of this creation will be taking reference from the Spirit. And the Father, God the Father, is a typology of the Spirit component of man. God the Father is a typology of the Spirit component of man. God the Holy Spirit is a typology of the soul component of man. God the Son is a typology of the body component of man, which is God the Son, the body. Now see how it plays out. The first dimension of God that ever manifested to the ages was God the Father. the unseen one, that one that invited Moses to a mountain to speak to him, the one that Isaiah and Elijah and all of them will have to isolate themselves to hear a voice but never see a person. And he was the unseen one, the untouchable one, the devouring fire. However, that is God the Father manifesting to the ages. Prophecy begins to come through Elijah, Isaiah. He says, unto us a child will be born, unto us a son will be given. Then the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Emmanuel. And the word that we know, that thing, that person who used to whisper to Moses, that person who spoke to Elijah, the person who gave Isaiah counsel, that word that they are hearing, the Bible says the word now became flesh and dwelt among us. That was how you too, from the beginning, you were once a spirit in the womb of eternity. So God says, before you were formed, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, before you were formed, formed means your parts came together in your mother's womb. I knew you. You already existed with me in the womb of eternity. Just as the first dimension of God that was manifested to the ages was God the Spirit, God the Father. Now, the first dimension of man that ever gained any level of existence was man as a spirit. The next dimension of God that was manifested to the ages was God becoming flesh, God the Son. You too, as a spirit, God will make a body for you. You will enter time. So the next dimension of man too, that will encounter the ages too, will be man from a spirit becoming flesh. And just the way Jesus laid down his life on the cross and was resurrected from the grave, that is symbolic to the soul dimension of a man. And from then on, the nomenclature of the Godhead that became their corporate representation in the earth realm is God the Holy Spirit. So till today, as I speak to you, the person who is currently in the earth is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is sitting at the right hand side of the Father. Who is the Father? I'm trying to build something. The Bible says, the Lord said unto my Lord Jesus, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy, not my enemy. So Satan is not the enemy of God. God wanted to go and make Jesus' enemy his footstool. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the person that you are describing as the one you could not see from the beginning in the first place. So what I'm trying to describe is a cycle that is going around like this. While you are trying to say this one is this one, you will come back again and be pointing the one you started talking about. The matters of Trinity, we will continue to discuss it until we sit at his feet and behold him. Then we will know as we are known. But I am sharing that it's one person who I've been talking about manifesting himself in different ages, just as man too has several manifestations. But for us to take cue and understand how to live victorious in the world, we must realize that Jesus depended solely on the Father. The Holy Spirit too depended solely on the Father. And so they sang a song. They say, out of my belly will flow rivers, rivers of living water. Have you read the scripture that says there is a stream, a river rather, that maketh, whose stream maketh glad the city of God? There is a river. On the last day of the feast, Jesus cried out. He said, who is it that thirsts? Let him come and drink, for out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Why are we sharing the things we are sharing? Because as soon as God designed this creature called man, and I took last week teaching to do an exegesis as to why God designed man, Satan collided with man. And I'll tell you what he collided with. He came and collided with a dimension of man that is a symbolic representation of God the Son. When Satan entered time and tempted man, in Genesis chapter 3 verse 14, you will hear God saying some very strategic things to Satan. He says, because you have done this, on thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat for the rest of thy days. Everybody here knows that serpents don't eat sand. We all know that their food is not sand. So what was God saying when he said, is dust, you serpents, you will eat? Dust was symbolic of a particular dimension of man. It's the flesh of man that was made from the dust. And it is the flesh of man that Jesus represents in the Godhead, because Jesus is the word that became flesh. So Satan attacked a particular part of man that was symbolic of Jesus, because he wanted that office in the realm of the spirit and he did not get it. So he fought for that office inside time, so that all of his temptations And the loyalty of the flesh now is to Satan. That's why till this day, Job chapter 32 verse 8 says there is a spirit inside man. The inspiration of the Almighty Spirit will give him understanding. So in salvation, God comes and tabernacles in your spirit. God and your spirit becomes one. Then God begins to advance the government of the spirit to fight against the government of the flesh that is in partnership with Satan based on his allegiance. This is why if you can tame the flesh, if you can mortify the flesh, you have handcuffed Satan. Because you have known God have told you where he will come from. God has told you that his dust this creature will eat for the rest of his days. I share you why scripture actually advises that they suffer not a witch to live. You see, a witch and a person who exposes their self to occult did something a bit different from what sinners do. A sinner only yielded to the expression and the demand of the flesh. But a witch permitted the adversary to have access to other parts of their being beyond their flesh. So this is why they can hit a gong and your soul can be summoned. That meeting you went to attend, you didn't attend the meeting with your body because your body was still on the bed. It means that you use other parts of you that God kept Satan away from. You willingly by yourself gave Satan access. That for me, it's not only dust you will eat, you can eat other parts too. And when that kind of exposure happens, it becomes hard for even the word of God to save such a one. This is why a witch can sit down here, and it's not the word of God that changes them. A witch only gets converted by power. Because the entrance of the word is supposed to give light, but the tool, the receptacle called the spirit that is supposed to access that light is compromised. Satan has signed his signature beyond the flesh for such a one. So it is because of this kind of bastardization of the order. That's why the scripture began to give us the only way back. So they sent a part of the Godhead whose own part inside man was for it. This is why it was not the Father that came to save man. It was not the Holy Spirit that came to save man. It was the Son, because it is the body of man that received an attack from Satan. And if it will be restored, it will be the person who is symbolic to that dimension. He is the one that will show up. And so God the Son came so that in an attempt to save man, this particular flesh that is loyal to sin, he can nail it to the cross as God nails Jesus to. If you are getting blessed, can you say amen?
Amen.
But you see, saints of God, it goes beyond these permutations and all of these equations of spirits. It became obvious that the counsel of God will only rest upon the spirit of a man. And so any man, no matter how well-meaning, no matter how anointed, no matter how spirit-filled, if Satan can trap your flesh, what it means is that no matter what is contained inside you, it will never flow out. The flesh is like a hard cover. Have you seen a seed before? A seed during the planting season, you will see it looking very hard. The reason why it is subjected into the ground is so that the activity of moisture and air can have impact in it and soften it and create a crack so that the life inside the seed can come out. There is a life inside every man that until the flesh is cracked, the expression will never come. It was that same mystery that God was teaching Israel in the Exodus where he said, he told Moses, strike the rock. Strike the rock. So Moses struck the rock once and water flowed out of the rock. God must strike you. You must die. The Bible says until a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it will abide alone. But if it dies, it will spring forth. So the way to recover or to come out of this wicked affront of the princes that be is that death will become the first experience of a man. And that death is synonymous to what God did to the sacrificial lamb called Jesus. When these things are playing out, all of the intelligence in darkness, they all know They all know that no matter how spiritual you are, if your flesh is still bogus and if your flesh is not crucified, there is no move of the spirit that can flow from you. And so the summon of Jesus is, who is it that tests? He says, let him come. Why? Out of his belly. Unfortunately, we are testing, but our test is not for God, because the yearning of the flesh compromise the design. Mind you, in the Trinity, the fellowship of the Trinity that is supposed to be the reference of man. Please, I need all of our attention. Just give me your attention quickly. The Trinity that is supposed to be the reference for man. Inside the Trinity, the members of the Trinity don't have individual ideas. Their mind is one. But now, what Satan did was that he removed the flesh to have his own will and his own wanting. So the unity of the Trinity of man has been disorganized. So man can decide in his spirit, and there will be another decision in his flesh. So his soul will now be stuck in between decisions as to obey the spirit or the flesh. So you hear in scripture that the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the spirit. The reason is that Satan knows that in this Trinity that he has seen God existed as, if he can fracture this Trinity in man, he will gain that thing he was looking for. I will be like the Most High. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, you will hear the orientation and the way they introduce Satan. They say, Satan, the god of this world, has blinded their eyes. So don't be deceived. He became a god. He got what he was looking for. But the plan now that he was hoping is that he will ascend. He will continue to push his government from just the flesh, so that a time will come when your flesh says A and your spirit says B. Unfortunately, I'm describing the life of the average man. Our decisions are always, almost, most of the times, in the direction of the flesh. There is a proof that your spirit also has an opinion on everything that you took a step at, because you will find a guilt that is a reverberatory voice in the heart of a man, reminding him that this is not the counsel of God. The thing I speak about happens for both saved and unsaved people. So even before you gave your life to Christ, there was a spirit in you. Without that spirit, you would have been an empty container. Any spirit would have occupied you. So they kept that spirit there as a caretaker, because the owner of the body will look for the body one day inside one appointment. So in salvation, where you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, it was your spirit that heard the voice of the shepherd. Only he knows the voice of a spirit. So spirit opens the door for another spirit, and God tabernacles in your spirit. Then the two becomes one. I told us last week, it is the fulfillment of the scripture that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There is no separation technique in time you can use to separate the spirits again. It's like turning a part of this water into this container. It's water, same material. It's spirit and spirit that has mixed. There is no separation technique, whether with man or with spirits, that can remove God from you. And it was the great teacher that told us that when man dies, the spirit returns to God that giveth it. The flesh decays to the ground where it came from, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There is no judgment throughout from Genesis to Revelation. No place you will find judgment for spirits. You will only find the soul being held accountable for his decisions. Because the spirit is a receptacle kept there by God to be the plug by which man can connect to God. The flesh is compromised. It is there receiving all the impulses of Satan. At the end of the day, the place where your consciousness is the soul. So Satan spoke. God spoke through the spirit. Satan spoke through the flesh. You obey through your soul. And your soul is your decision center. The decision you took, you will go and give account at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, the members that deceived you, they will not even be there to face the punishment for the wicked things that they made you do. And all men will come and give account, small and great, young and old. The only way back is to restitute these things that has been corrupted. And how would a man enter this life that was characterized as the Zoe life from the beginning? How can man live up to the full expectations of the Godhead again? It means the Spirit must regain back his authority. The way Jesus does not argue with the Father. You see, inside man, if you compare what I'm trying to share now, inside man, it is almost as though the Father speaks and Jesus says he will not do it. Amen? It is the flesh challenging the Spirit. Now, the flesh inside man, like I said, is reflective of God the Son dimension. And so this is why they sent God the Son to come and take that rebellious flesh and nail it to the cross. So that if you too, you crucify the flesh with Jesus on the cross, the flesh will no longer have power and hold over you. And then going forward, there will be a spirit support that will come from the throne above and tabernacle in you, give your spirit more strength, and then begin to extend his government. First, your soul will be brought under submission. Once that happens, then they communicate the government until it gets to the flesh. And if it reaches the flesh, it is that time that men cannot tell the difference between you again and a God. Because everything in your physical body is testifying to the reality of the spirit man. Do we have people in our midst who are honestly tired? Tired of the life of rising and falling. Do we have people who are almost convincing themselves that it might be practically impossible to even live righteous? It's as though this righteousness thing is just a fairy tale. Body no be firewood. I can tell you one truth. There is only one way out. It is to empower the spirit and allow that the government of the spirit becomes our only inspiration. Once it becomes that, everything is respecting the spirit. So Jesus spoke. He says, I do nothing of my own accord. The question I have for every one of us seated here tonight is your life only gravitating towards the direction of the spirit? Most of our decisions, unfortunately, most of our decisions are influenced by the flesh. It is because the flesh has a loud voice. Its opinion is loud. But today I pray that as the word of God is coming to us, and as we engage these principles, God will do something to our spirits that will set us on fire and enable our spirit man to have dominion over all the parts that be in the name of Jesus Christ. Can we bow our head 1 minute and ask the Lord for a touch tonight? Ask the Lord to enable and embrace us. Grant us encounters. 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 Encounters.
Shadara sanamanape ede commenaros coperas avinate anda kabai kone Amen.
Romans chapter 8 verse 14, very quickly. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. And Akazo is projected. Let's read together at the count of 3. 1, 2, 3, go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Listen. I told us that in the orientation and the arrangement of the unity of the Trinity, of the Godhead, it is that every part of the Godhead is loyal to God the Father, who is the Spirit dimension. in like manner, in the orientation of man, the only test that they kept to know who are the sons of God, they said anybody that comes to the point where the full component of that individual is powered and led by the Spirit. So many things can lead you. There are fleshly men that are led by the impulses of the flesh. There are people who dwell around the soulish realm. They live only gratifying emotions and high points of desires. But then scripture says, them that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So it means that the only way to locate the sons of God that are in very short supply, it is that if you find a generation that in their orientation, the bogus among these three life forms, the spirit, the soul, and the body, is their spirit. And it is that spirit that is leading them. He says, if you find those manifestations, you have met the sons of God. If you check the book of Luke, you will find the account given about the genealogies. Then you will find an account from Jesus down to Adam. So they started with Jesus first as the Son of God. They traced it down, coming to Adam. They ended Adam also as Son of God. So it means that if Adam bears the title of Adam, Son of God, at some point, what was leading Adam corporately was his spirit, not his flesh. What Satan did was that he presented a temptation that appealed to a nature. Remember what Satan told the woman. He says that if God knows that if you eat this fruit, your eyes will be open and then you will become wise. You will know things like God. Wise, your eyes open. Which eyes? In the design of man, God expected that the flesh will look through the lens of the spirit. The flesh will not have had any kind of knowledge of his own. He will be depending on the spirit for information. He would be looking at the world from the mind frame of the spirit. But Satan gave the flesh an independence, a freedom from being loyal to the spirit. So it was in that place that the flesh now has his own education. He has what he believes. So now, if you check the convictions of your spirit versus the convictions of your flesh, the things of the spirit will look like foolishness to the flesh. In the spirit, the way to multiply is to give. You lose to get. In the flesh, the way to multiply is to continue to hide, to keep, to trap, to store. So you see conflicting views. And the Bible says that who is it that seemeth wise in the things of this world? Let him become a fool so that he may be wise. What kind of foolishness did they advise men to become? Subscribe to the knowledge and the ideas of the spirit that obviously will look like foolishness to the carnal man. The way of the spirit is that the highest or the greatest among men is the least. In the flesh, the greatest is the master of all. So you will find these two ideas conflicting. It is because the flesh has been given an idea or an information, a mind of its own. And the only way for all of this damage to be restituted is that God will strengthen your spirit man. From that strengthening of your spirit man, the information that the flesh already subscribed to, the flesh will be forced to die by itself. This is why until a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die. Unfortunately, it is this part of death that is one of the most hardest thing for a believer to do. Because the death of a believer is not a tragedy that happens to him on account of an external collision. The death of a believer, it is a sacrifice that he did by himself, bringing himself to the cross of sacrifice. So inside your flesh, everybody has one or two things they are yearning for. And the great apostle John the Beloved summarized all that is in the world into three flavors of lust. He says all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There is nothing else that is in this world in these three. Anakazo, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? Please, can you tell your neighbor these three lusts again? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
So when it came to the temptation of Eve, pay attention, I'm summarizing now. See what Satan did very quickly. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Just give me verse 6. Let's skip it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, quickly. Let's read together, everybody. 1, 2, go. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, wait. The first thing she did was she saw that the tree was good, the lust of the eyes. Everything. There's no way Satan can come around you aside these three areas. And they gave you the details that if you master, Satan is not a factor again. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The first thing is that it was good for food, she saw, right? Next, let's read together. Pleasant to the eyes. It's something if you are looking at, it's nice to see this thing. It is uniquely designed. The disposition was nice. The hunger and yearning of your flesh. In the morning, whether you decide to fast or not, the flesh always behaves as though he is not carried along, he's not with you in this your decision. So there is no day that you decide to fast that the flesh cooperated with you. It is days that you decide to fast that the hunger level becomes unbearable. The days you are very busy, it was not fasting, you are just busy. You are not even hungry. You just look at your watch, it's even 4 p.m. You forgot to eat. No hunger. Mistakenly declare fasting and see the rebellion of the flesh. He will come like a man of war and say, what's going on here? Look, I don't like anything happening without my family. When these things is happening, you will know that you are not alone. Inside you, it is the opinion of Satan also being echoed. And so they have told us that the three areas Satan can ever manifest, the lust of the flesh. She saw that it was good for food. Food, the flesh. Number two is pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. Then number three, he says, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. Let me take you to the temptation of Jesus. First temptation, turn this stone into bread. Which bread? Because he was hungry. The lust of the flesh. Which stone? It was the Bible in, I think 2 Peter that called Jesus the living stone. The living stone. Now, they are telling Jesus to use the anointing over his life and the audience of heaven that he has. Use the authority of the audience of heaven that you have. Use it to serve your own good. That is the temptation the average minister of our age has fallen into. The ministry is now used as a means to gratify self. So he told Jesus to turn the stone into bread. Turning that stone into bread, it is a particular flavor of lust called the lust of the flesh. Number two, it took Jesus to a high pinnacle of the temple. And from there, he said, if you are the Son of God, that is proof to me, you are the son of the pride of life. Let's know whether you are even the Son of God. Many of you would have and died carelessly. Because let me tell you one truth. If Jesus would have jumped, there would have been no provision for cover for him. Satan did not push Jesus. There was no threat, no risk. You put yourself in arm's way by yourself. And the resources of heaven cannot be wasted. You will see it consistent with the character of God that even when there are remnants from the people feeding on loaves and fishes, Jesus says, gather it. No room for wastage. You don't waste power in the kingdom. So if you see danger and you go and put yourself, it is like a prophet, you know, we recall Prophet Daniel that died in 2008. Told them to throw him into the zoo. The lion's den. That God told him that he is the Daniel of our time. The God that was with Daniel because risk was around his life. You are the one that put yourself in that situation. So you will not find the angelic cover. This is how there are things that your deliverance is just obeying the laws of God. If you disobey the law and then you are now blaming God again that it did not come through for you, it is because security and cover is within the confines of obedience. Now Satan say, jump down. If you are the Son of God, jump down. I share the season that many of us are under. Many of you are trusting God for grace. You struggled with one sin or another. And one day you went for one program, maybe, or for one meeting, and you got some level of freedom, a ventilation in your soul. You know what Satan comes and tells you? Eh? Which means that you can really be free. A young man who probably struggles with masturbation, and then went for one all night, came back with the zeal and the power of the fire of the all night still burning in him. He went for 1 week, 2 weeks. As at the 3rd week, Satan will come and say, "Hey, it means that anytime you want to be free, you can be free. So you can even be free since you are doing why you're like this." Then the person will smile small. He is trying to tell you to jump down by yourself. Nobody pushed you. He then tells you, since you now know that you can be free anytime you want to be free, can just do it this once, and then you fast on Tuesday, fast for like from morning to like 6 p.m. You connect again. You know, many people, you have found God's home address, so you know what to do to locate the door. One day you go in and you go there, you will not find the door again. Cast yourself down by yourself. The pride of life. And then you took Jesus to an exceeding high mountain, and from there he showed him the glories of the world and the riches thereof, the lust of the eyes. He showed him. There is no other temptation that will come outside these things. And these are the only way that Satan can remain lord of the physical world. No matter anybody who tries to ascend, there is a message inside the physical world for anybody with an initiative. There is a force called gravity that is known to bring anything that goes up down. Spiritually, there is a program of the Antichrist to make sure that nobody will truly ascend. So there will be chairs of life that will weigh people down. No matter, if you want to fast today or you want to retreat, you will be amazed the things that will break your retreat. For some reason, all hell will break loose. All kinds of call, emergencies, to make sure that your attempt to ascend will not be successful. And for us as a house, even as a move of God, the idea is, how do we prevail over this wickedness? The strategy of Satan is clear. The advice of the immortals is clear. They have shown us where he will come from. It is the flesh. It is dust that he will eat. They have shown us that inside this flesh, there are only three expressions: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These three areas are where he will manifest from. But however, even with all of this knowledge, the average man still falls prey to all of the whims and caprices of Satan. And today, it is our hope that as God gives us grace and we begin to pray, that God will strengthen our spirit man. From meetings like this, when you live here, I can tell you one truth. You will find an advantage, a strength in your spirit to resist the devil. But the only way you will fall is when you jump down by yourself. Because many of you, if you will be honest with yourself, you have had those mountain points, those peak experience, where you just felt invincible for like 2 weeks. And then after that, the devil deflated you again. Look for the narrative, how the history of your spirituality is. You will find that it's a storyline that repeats itself over and over again. For some of us, there is a besetting sin. There is a particular sin that easily besets you. And if you check, you will identify which of the flavors of lust that sin falls under. Is it the lust of the eyes? Is it the lust of the flesh? Or the pride of life? Wherever it comes into, there is an antidote in God that restitutes these things. And so my call tonight is to somebody or anybody in our midst who is genuinely tired of falling prey for all of these schemes of Satan again. Because the earnest expectation of creature, they are waiting for the manifestations of them that are led by the Spirit, and they are the sons of God. So if we know that it would only take the Spirit to lead us for us to become sons of God, it means that our attention will shift from many activities, many things trying to please God. It is to build the capacity of our spirit man. And once the Spirit becomes the bogus and begins to lead the other members of this triune man, the Bible says that man that is led by the Spirit is the Son of God.
the advantage of being led by the Spirit is that your identity, your corporate identity, is a reflection of what Spirit is leading you. If the spirit of insanity comes upon a man, he changes the identity of that man. They address the man as a madman. That man has a name that his parents gave him, but he lost that name on account of the spirit that possessed him. If the Spirit of God also takes hold of you, your identity changes corporately. In the rank of spirits, you will find that a goat, please pay attention, I'm tying something up now, just give me your attention. You will never find a goat planting anything. You will never find any cattle. No bird is toiling. None of them is even created in the image of God. But man that was designed in the image now needs to sweat before he eats. The earth is providing for goats without the goat sweating. And it was the program that God designed from the beginning, that everything God designed, that man will have dominion over them. The earth was supposed to produce for man without man tilling it. But when man fell, the earth started looking for that creature that they designed it for. It couldn't find the great creature again. So all the earth rebelled against man. So till today, the earnest expectation of creature, they are still waiting for when the sons of God will come back. So it means in our midst, as far as the creatures are concerned, they have not seen the sons of God yet. The manifestation of the sons is when the spirit inside man becomes bogus enough to declare his government over the soul and flesh. From that point, you will find out that even things like sustenance was designed in the design of man. The earth produces you. You go and call what it produced for a goat weed. The reason is that it didn't remember you again. It has lost the reference of the person that God designed that he should serve. And the only way for us to get that dominion back is to trace back our step to the image and the likeness of God. And who are the sons of God? The Bible says, them that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What then is the most important labor of a man? It is to labor to be led by the Spirit. So Jesus came to that point where he says, I do nothing of my own accord. It is what I see the Father doing, that I do. You know why Jesus can stand and say, peace, be still, and the wind and the waves will become subjected to his rebuke? Creation heard the voice of his creator. Jesus will carry his leg with gravity and density all at work. Jesus will step on water and water will hold his weight. Everything created is testifying that Jesus is the Son of God. Don't be thinking of the kind of miracles you are trusting God, that one day when you fast, when you truly, you know, some people are saying, there was one time I will fast for 40 days. Somebody is smiling. You are in that category too. That there's one day I will just separate 40 days and fast. When I come out of that fast, guy, you will find out all the patriarchs before you, everybody said those things too. A brother went to the peak of Kudendem Mountain to go and fast. And on the peak of the mountain, by 12 a.m., he masturbated. Then he called me from there and said, sir, I'll be coming back tomorrow morning. Remember, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. There is nothing you can do by yourself. The thing even leading you is in rebellion. Mind you, the flesh has its own spirituality too. The spirituality of the flesh is about pride of life. Anything that is reigning, and this is what brings respect now, that's what the flesh is interested in. So just because you saw your friend, you guys entered the place together and then they took him to the front seat. They kept you somewhere at the back. Ah, see, I'm sharing the story of my own friend now. Huh? Then he told me that he wants to go for a retreat quickly. That he sends a call upon his life. The Lord told me that this is the flesh that is pushing this guy, but we should watch how the story will end. So he entered the retreat. The first day he said nobody should open the door. That it's only God that will speak as to when this door will open. Then, I think that day, by 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. thereabout, I received a text message that if I can just buy Hollandia and bring. You know why? He gave me the key out of passion. He gave me the key and said, I should come back after 3 days. So I should come back. So by I think 12 or 1 a.m. thereabout, he said, I should please bring Hollandia first. So in a bid, thinking I wanted to help him so that he will live up to that thing, I feel the Satan that was trying to fight. So let me be a good brother. I ignored the message. The next day, by 8 a.m., it was warning that entered my phone. He said, please, I'm not joking. Please, just bring the key. Bring my key quickly. So when I went there, I found out that, oh, it's the flesh. How many of us make all kinds of dangerous declaration, especially during watch night services? You come and see very bogus resolutions. Say 2021, my year of fire. You know, in those days where we were in the world, where we hung out with all kinds of shades of people, I had one particular friend also. He abandons us every watch night. And the first 2 days of the new year, you will not see him. He will tell us that God said we are the reason why he's not succeeding in life. Mind you, I was being raised in deeper life. Both of my parents were pastors. So I was not even a bad boy. But the zeal that enters him every watch night, he just say it's a new leaf now. The challenge with all of these hasty decisions is that the flesh has no respect for any resolution you made. The interest of the flesh is government to still bring under submission. The only thing that can overpower the flesh is not your will, it's not your soul. Your soul does not have the capacity to bring the flesh under submission. It is the spirit that can colonize the flesh. Unfortunately, it's that spirit we don't want to listen to. If the spirit says do this, and the flesh says do this, and you obey the flesh gains more muscle. Tomorrow, when the spirit says do this, the flesh talks again. The flesh still grows. A time will come where the flesh does not have to say again. The spirit will talk, the flesh will only say no. And it becomes a decision. How do you empower your spirit man? Tell somebody obedience. By every instruction of the spirit you obey, he becomes stronger. As the flesh say do this, and the spirit say do this other thing, as you obey the spirit gains muscle. That obedience comes with a price. Because a man that does this is aware that he is building the stamina of a being. So the flesh says, ha, oh boy, nobody there else, and see this girl. You know, the truth of the matter is, let me tell you one truth. I've read it out for all of us. Our time is fast spent. Let me tie it up. All that is in the world, the apostle says, the lust of the flesh. So if the lust of the flesh is part of all that is in the world, it means everybody has the excuse to fall for the lust of the flesh. The people you find who are standing, they don't have any special advantage. It is that the excuse you are making, any human being too can make it. And it is because of the reason that excuses can be generic. That's why there are rewards for those who overcome. Because everybody could have made that excuse. But what now makes you different? How did you overcome? There's a reward for you. So the lust of the flesh is a peculiar flavor of lust that every human being enters the world with. And when Satan comes, he comes to tempt you based on these things that he knows is the things that are characterized, that characterize the physical world, the flesh. For many of us, if you can win this war tonight, you will truly be untouchable. Some of you, something continues to tell you that if only you can go consistent with God, even for 1 month, you will handle certain horns in the spirit. And for some of you, there are spirits around them. There are individuals that from their birth, from the day they knew themselves to be humans, There have never been a breathing space Satan gave them. There have always been monitoring spirits, supervisory spirits, making sure that they must be under a dose of sin per minute. Because if you give them, even though it's 2 days, Satan knows the kind of angels that are hanging around them. Satan knows what this person can become if you turn your back. Remember, they shaved the hair of Samson and he lost his strength. But as they turned their back, the hair grew again. So it's on account of this wickedness. That's why Satan now plots and finds particular sins that are compatible with the lust of people. So at the end of the day, he is not interested in taking us through a roll call of sin. As regarding a catalog of sin, steal, then he takes it. Lie, then he takes it. Fornicate, then he takes. No. He wants one sin that is compatible with you, that you can continue to struggle with. So you can be strong in one area and say, by the grace of God, in the area of anger, I think God has helped me. What about lust? Mind you, at the end of the day, it will not be in areas that will judge you. They will just judge about an absolute righteous man. And most people pointing accusing fingers currently in our world are people who are struggling with one area of deficiency or another. Jesus exposed these things when the scribes, the Pharisees, Sanhedrins, scholars of the law, all of them came with stones to stone a woman to death on account of the death penalty that is well defined for anybody caught in adultery. And Jesus looked at scholars of the law, religious men of their time, holy men of old with white robes, and he says, he that is without sin among you, throw the first stone. Nobody could cast a stone. Mind you, before Jesus even asked that thing, scripture says he wrote some things on the ground. And it is my opinion that he wrote the names of some sins. He just wrote adultery on the ground. And one of the chief priests that was there saw the adultery. And he remembered what he did last week. He wrote lying. By the side of lying, he wrote gossip. And the women too who joined in the... Nobody could throw a stone. So even in Jesus' days, when the law was in its purest form, nobody was righteous. You know, my greatest shock in our world is even people that we know their area of struggle, they are busy pointing the small speck in the eye of another person, and there is a big log in their eye. If we will all embrace, number one, first, that we are humans and we need help of God, the world will be a better place. You know, I shared somewhere recently, I was telling them, if we can all throw away all of our, you know, religious affiliations and just be human beings first, the challenges in many nations will be solved. Some weeks back, Hezbollah, one Islamic paramilitary apparatus in Kano, went to arrest 20 people in a club and they wrote their names. I saw that Mary, who is supposed to be the mother of Jesus, was one of the people arrested. They arrested Peter. Honestly speaking, the Holy Ghost told me to look at the names of the culprits and tell me how many Muslims are here and how many Christians. And I even saw Joseph too. Does that Peter know who they named him after? The Mary that was in the club, exposed, you know, just allowing the spirit of lust to find expression through her. Does she know who they named her after? But if they fill a form, they will write Christianity. It is because we too, we allow that wicked deception to enter a categorization as a religion, so everybody can hide under it. If we lived as touching the way the church of old lived, you are only a Christian by your fruits. It is when men look at your life, it is from your life that they say, these men have been with Christ. So if they cannot find any character or fruit in you, they can't ascribe any identity to you. And so I bring the question for us today. If the things I shared today be true, and if the counsel of God has come, would we leave this hall tonight and the flesh will still have power? You will still be ticking register every morning. For some people, in the middle of the night, the flesh will wake you up and say, you have not marked register. Go and watch pornography again quickly. You have not done it today. Can't you see how helpless you are? Your soul is crying. He is pleading for his intervention. And his help can only come when the spirit inside him rises. How can that spirit rise? For some, you know that you have reached a point where the sin is no longer pleasurable. In fact, I've met a woman that Satan has spent her youthful years on. She lived in prostitution with all her youthful years. Then in her early 50s, the body physique and the form is no longer is no longer attractive for that kind of trade again. But the spirit that powers that appetite is still very active. So the woman now does something very strange and abominable. She now engages young people, and her lust now is to sit down and watch them gratify the yearnings of immorality. So the way she gratifies that lust now is she gives you money, gives that guy money, and say, you guys should defy yourself in her front. So when she came to me and we were talking, I found out she was very sick. Very sick. And I asked, madam, what is wrong with you? Have you gone to the hospital? Yes. They've done all tests. Nothing is wrong. So I inquired of the Lord. The same spirit that she served with all her youth and gave all her youthful vigor to, in the days where her skin was still very, very smooth and intact, the days where every step of hers caught the attention of young men, she served Satan with all her might. The reward that that spirit of lust that possessed her and used her as a theater has for her is that the moment the body is no longer having all the attributes to perform that enterprise, the spirit opened a door for the spirit of infirmity to come and enter. The way a spirit can carry other wicked, more wicked spirit and say, come and help me. The spirit knows that it cannot leave this body anytime it likes, because according to the traffic law of the spirit, the work of a spirit is not complete until it brings that its host to death. It's only death that permits a spirit to leave a body. Only two ways a spirit can leave a body: either the death of the host or power acts to leave based on the illegality that it entered there in the first place. So if Jesus did not set you free, only death can set you free. The covenants of marriage, whether to spirit husband or anything, is only broken by death. Because the real sickness that registered that covenant, one is blood. So according to the original design, because there are many things we do now that from the beginning it was not so. The idea is that a man will marry a virgin, and one of the things that will be the witness of that marriage is blood. By the penetration of the matrix, blood will be shed. And part of the things that have voice in the spirit that can speak is blood. The Bible says the blood of Jesus that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So the blood of Abel was speaking, and Jesus' blood came to speak better things. So in the courts of eternity, what authenticates your marriage that actually becomes a witness that you are married? Mind you, in the old covenant, according to the Levitical rule, if a man rapes a lady in the field and she shouts because it's in the field, nobody heard her, and he rapes her, his penalty is that he should go and pay her bride price, whether her father gives him as a bride or not. Because he has known her in the eyes of spirit, knowing her is the marriage. So go and pay her bride price. And it is left to the father to give you the wife or to still withhold it as your punishment. Blood. Bear witness. Blood that has a voice in eternity said, okay, these two are married. Unfortunately, you married inside a club, in a toilet, in one student hostel room, in one corner in Samari Street. One guy in Samari streets that his father is trying to gather his jammed money. That is who blood remembers as your husband. The average person thinks that because of the world has, you know, been bastardized and the foundations are out of course, the laws of God will change. Whether hands join hands, you can't frustrate God into setting other systems just to accommodate the level of compromise. His word are yea and they are amen. The standard is still the same, the bed undefiled. Although I speak now and I see a lot of people angry with me on the things I have decided to talk about. But you see, the covenant of marriage that blood bear witness to can only be broken by death. That was why Jesus brought death as also one of the advantage of a believer. So that when you make irreversible mistake, you can die anytime you like. You can die by associating to the death of the cross. Because certain covenants can only be broken by death. If Jesus had not died, it would have taken the end of your life to restitute that mistake. So the death of Jesus has given you an advantage to do a U-turn again and say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That mistake is passed away. So those who are angry, you can smile now again. That guy in Samari Street is no longer your husband. If you can come to the cross of Jesus and say you are sorry. But should we continue to sin so that grace may abound? So the spirit, after using her youthful years, now knows that she is no longer attractive for his merchandise. He wants to get another young body so he can continue. But the only way to leave the body, it is to make that this body will meet the end so that it can live. Mind you, this was the same thing happening with Jesus and the demoniac of Gadara. Jesus was speaking to a man with legion spirit. And the spirit has one thing telling Jesus. They say, send us into this swine. Jesus saw that living a human being and entering swine. Remember I told you only two things can check a spirit out. Authority, power, or death. And when authority checked them out and they entered swine, the spirits knew, they knew by themselves that they cannot stay in that animal. They only gave Jesus that address because they know that if that thing can die, they will be free. And what they needed was to remain in that territory. So as soon as they entered the pig, it is because of the spirit God puts inside man. That's why the demonic influence cannot lead you as they want. Sometimes they want, have you read the scripture where the man told Jesus that this spirit sometimes throw my son into fire? It will try to truncate the life of the person. And because of the spirit inside man, it will continue to fight it. This body is my own. The demon is saying, but I also have government over it. And they cannot overpower it. So they took a whole head of swine and ran violently into water. So that by the death of their host, they are free. That's the fate that befalls any man that serves Satan. He is not a good master at all. Give him the best of your years and your retirement package is death. Do mighty things for him and his reward at the end of the day is death. And so, that lust that you probably are entertaining now, that lying spirit, some of you lie for no reason and you know, in fact you smile, you call it lapazi, you call it flow, you call it lies. One day you would want to even good money would be hard to be true. Because the spirit would have colonized you so much. And when he finds out that you become so old that you don't talk so loud again and you cannot lie very well, he will start orchestrating your death. Any spirit at all, once their host is no longer attractive for their use, they begin to orchestrate the death of the host. So what you serve with your life, now the reward for faithfulness is death. Why don't we yield ourselves tonight to the God that created and designed us for his pleasures and for his glory? Can God not drink from your youth? Would only demons be the ones to spend out of these choice years of your life? Can't the glory of God be seen upon you in the days of your youth? So this is my charge for all of us tonight. Some people will decide intelligently and intentionally tonight that in this day and in this moment of my life, I will carry the glory of God literally. It was what happened to Jesus. The government of the spirit became so strong that it supersedes the government of the flesh. Jesus resurrected with his body, this body, and he used this body to walk through wall. Entered the room where Thomas was and said, "This is the hole. Put your hand inside." Jesus used the body that was colonized by the spirit, and all the blood in his body was drained. He resurrected with God life, not blood life again. And that same spirit is what tonight the song the worship team sang, "Out of my belly shall flow." The only thing that is stopping that river of living water from breaking out from you is the strong cover of the flesh. And if like that striking of Moses, if you can strike that rock tonight and it cracks, a river will break out from you. The Bible says one river went into Eden to water the garden, and from then it parted into four heads: Gishon, Gihon, Kishon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates. One river is the Holy Ghost inside you. If that Holy Ghost can break out from you tonight, there's only one way it can break out. A man will submit himself and tell the Lord, "Listen, all your attempts by yourself, all the ways you have tried to overcome, the flesh continues to prove to you that it is the spirit that quickeneth. By the grace of God, I will not do this thing again. Next week, you are there again." There's nothing you can do above the flesh, because even the flesh is helped by a spirit. Lucifer is in partnership with the flesh. How can you, just a man, think you can overpower a spirit that is as old as that? And the way he manifests is through your flesh. And you think that by resolution you can tame the flesh. The government that can tame the flesh is only in the spirit. And it is a spirit too that will enter your spirit, so that you too, something supported you. And then a spirit and your spirit went to war. Suddenly your flesh will speak, and a higher authority will tell you to keep quiet. Suddenly sickness will enter your body, and the spirit that rose up Christ from the dead will reply sickness. Suddenly, the wicked riders of wickedness, they will come against you, and he will say, "Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Can you lift up your voice tonight and ask the Lord, "Let the river flow out of my belly. Let the wall of the flesh be cracked. The stronghold of the flesh, let it be cracked." I'm speaking to everybody here who are tired of giving excuses, tired of rising and falling. There's one way tonight, and God showed us. If your spirit man can gain ascendancy, all of a sudden you will find out, the influence of the flesh notwithstanding. Anakazo, we're going to lift up our voice now and pray in one accord. We're going to say, "Lord, over my life, I submit my body on the altars of sacrifice. I declare every power instituted around my flesh." As we begin to pray, let the fire of the altar consecrate my body. Consecrate my body. Your flesh must submit tonight. After meetings like this, your flesh must submit.
Step away. casting your life down? Are you casting yourself down? Are you casting your life down? There are many appetites in the flesh. Are you casting it down tonight? Are you laying it down? That's the only way. The flesh must give way so that the civilization of the spirit can flow. There is a river that can flow out of your belly until the flesh is cracked.
Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water.
Holy Ghost is doing his work now. Some of you, your spirit man is rising. You can feel him gaining capacity. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! There is a spirit in man. Awaken that spirit now. Listen to me, Anakazo. Please give me your attention. Second Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 has called Satan the God of this world. So, there's no argument of that. The great apostle has told us that all that is in this world that the God of this world has designed is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that is in the world. So there is nothing good, actually. Everything is trying to lure you into sin. How then can a man live righteous in a world that the God of the world is Satan, and everything that is in the world is lust? It will take a level of drunkenness. You will immobilize the flesh. And so the only explanation Peter has in the day of Pentecost, he says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. As you suppose. So they are drunk, but it is not the kind of drunkenness that you suppose. They are drunk with the wine of the Spirit. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a spirit that will overpower you tonight, and you can walk past fornication with all of its ability. You are drunk already. Have you seen a drunk man before? The merchandise of the flesh no longer appeals to you. So the prince of this world can come for you and he will find nothing because you are drunk. There is a wine you have drunk from. There is a new wine that God sent into the earth, that any man that sips from that cup, he will become intoxicated with a passion for God. You don't have it in you to overcome. It is a spirit that will quicken you. And you must drink the wine of that spirit tonight. Take 1 minute and ask the Lord for the new wine. The new wine. The new wine. The new wine.
The new life.
The new wine. The new wine.
Oh,
There is a wine, oh. There is a wine you must drink. Only then can you survive the loss. Yes, 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 yes. The wine of the Spirit. Something can happen to you now. Something will happen to you now. The wine of the Spirit. Now, Holy Ghost, thank you because your presence is strong in this place. I thank you because you confirm your counsel with signs and wonders. Now I declare, as wine that intoxicates men with a passion and a hunger for righteousness, with a zeal for the kingdom, I declare wine be supplied now. Now, now, wine everywhere. Wine. Wine! 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 Ushers, please go around. The wine of the Spirit. Wine! New wine! Yes! It's a new wine! It's a new wine! Help them at the back there. It's a new wine. The wine of the Spirit. Declare and I decree to mighty luminaries who has been kept under chains, people who don't know the last time that they were free, people that wicked spirits have continued to walk around the clock around their life, people with calls and ordinations that wicked spirits are resisting now, Holy Ghost, upon them right now. By the fire of the Spirit, I declare your freedom now. At the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Now. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Our spirits are being charged. The control centers of Zion is your spirit. That's where God makes his intervention from. The spirit in man. Something is happening to that spirit right now. Your spirit, your spirit. Many of you have never sensed your spirit before. Now you can sense the authority of your spirit. He is rising up like a man of war.
Hallelujah.
For those of us who are just spectating, who don't know the import of the things we share tonight, the person that is against God is you. Who is it that wants to follow me? He said, let him deny himself. It's you. It is the flesh that must get out of the way. It is that flesh that you have been pampering. It is that flesh you have been petting. And tonight they gave you the key. They say, go to war with the flesh. Overpower it and carry dominion. And you are there just winding away time. Defeat the flesh, or it will defeat you. And one way we did that tonight. Can you submit your flesh tonight again and say, Lord, consecrate me by fire? He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice. That after meetings like this, you too, you can say, I do nothing of my own. That which I see the Spirit doing, that I do. All of a sudden, you have entered the life of dominion. If you live after the civilization of the Spirit, there is no struggle of sin again. I do nothing of my own. That which I see the Spirit doing, that I do. There are people in our midst. Very quickly before we go, your one challenge has been this narrative. To will is in you, desire is in you, but the strength to domesticate your desire is not in you. The flesh continues to overpower your decisions. I want to wake up in the night and pray. You open your eyes by 6 a.m. The flesh canceled your prayer schedule. I will fast tomorrow. 9 a.m. you have eaten. The flesh canceled your resolution. By the grace of God, I will begin to study the word of God every day. And for the next 1 week, the Bible has not opened yet. The flesh is challenging the decisions of the Spirit. Tonight, we are going to shout Jesus at the count of three. And a new government will take over. A new government will take over. Are you ready now? One, in the name of Jesus. Two, in the name of Jesus. Three, right now. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Over your people. Now upon them. Upon them. Upon them. Jesus.